Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everyone here with us on the East Coast, and to those of you joining us out west, good morning. Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network and the Life Coach Chat. I'm your host, Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm happy to be joined by my co-host, Philomena Iorio-Tashluk of Bounce Life Coaching, and Tim Billiter of DIY for Your Soul. Today, in honor of Flag Day, our topic is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Before we get started, I just want to remind our listeners, if they have a question or comment, they can call in at 646-716-9397. We'd love to have someone out there give us a call, share a comment, ask a question. That'd be great fun for us, and love to hear what you guys have to say. And again, that number is 646-716-9397. So before we get started, we're going to take a minute to meet everyone here on our panel and hear a bit about what they do before we dive into our topic today. So Tim, if you'd take a minute to or a couple minutes to please introduce yourself and just let us know about your coaching practice and tell the people how they can contact you.
Thanks so much. I'm Tim Billiter, as Mandy alluded to, and I am a New York City area-based life purpose coach. I really kind of consider myself a foundational coach, and what that really means is that, you know, you would come to me because you are struggling with where your life is, where your life wants to go, and you just kind of can't figure out what those blocks are. So, you know, together we're going to kind of figure out, you know, who you are, who you think you are, who you see yourself as. We're going to dive into those things that are holding you back, and we're going to work on the foundation, basically. And what we want to do is build a foundation that is strong and, you know, will help you build the life that you really dream of. You can reach me at my website, which is DIYForYourSoul.com. That's all spelled out, DIYForYourSoul.com, no numbers in there. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Billiter. And you can actually find me on my Facebook page as well, which is Tim Billiter Life Coach.
Very good. I know we just started. I think we just started following each other the other day on Twitter, and I'm still a newbie to that. So I'll have to get some tips from you on how to use that a little bit better. But great stuff there. And Philomena, how about yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Mandy. My name is Philomena Iorio-Tashluk, and I'm the founder of Bounce Life Coaching. And what I do is I help businesses and individuals learn how to manage stress by becoming masters of their emotions. So whether they're struggling with stress eating, weight management, improving company culture, I help my clients learn to face obstacles with curiosity, make decisions with clarity, and actually enjoy the entire evolution process. And what I really help people understand is that the most powerful and controllable human stressor in the world is the human mind. So once they are able to grasp this and understand it, they become better leaders at work. They become better leaders at home, resulting in improved relationships, improved job performance, weight loss. So there's a ton of benefits. So in addition to individual coaching, I also offer group coaching and workshops. And you can visit my website, which is www.bounce-life.com. That's B-O-U-N-C-E-life, L-I-F-E.com. Or you can email me at Philomena, S-I-L-O-M-E-N-A, at bounce-life.com.
Great. Definitely sounds like with all the expertise we're going to have today, I think we're going to really have a lot to offer and share with our topic today. Well, I am Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and my website is coachmandy.com, and I'm a peak performance and leadership coach, and I do work with athletes who are looking to maximize their potential, basically by trying to quiet the negative self-talk, fears, and doubts that they all have. Even the great ones out there all have that. So I work with them to try to quiet those thoughts, doubts, and fears so they can be their best. We do that by focusing on boosting a strong sense of self and a belief in their inner greatness, and we do this through personal and leadership development, basically looking to train the brain so they can up their game and then excel both on and off the field. And I know one thing, when I work with athletes, one of the things we discuss all the time, so it's really great with our topic today, is we talk all the time about, do you have to be happy to play well, or do you play well to be happy? So that's always an interesting discussion that we can have with that. So I'm really looking forward to our discussion today. And again, I can be reached at coachmandy.com, and my email address as well is mandy@coachmandy.com. So with that, now we've had a chance to all introduce ourselves and give everybody a little bit of background of who we are and what we do. Just want to remind everybody, Ken, if they'd like to call in, the phone number is 646-716-9397. So today we're discussing life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. As we said, in honor of Flag Day, kind of thought we'd have a little fun with that and go with that topic. And basically, that phrase is well known from the United States Declaration of Independence. At least hopefully everybody knows that. And we're not going to go into a history lesson today, but it's about the unalienable rights that people have. And like I said, it came from the Declaration of Independence, and we thought it would just be really fun today to sort of dive into all this and break it down and see what it all means to us and go from there. So, Tim and Philomena, before we sort of break it down a little bit, maybe if you want to take a moment to just sort of share what your thoughts are and what that statement of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness means to you. So, Tim, if you'd like to go first and maybe give us a thought or two, that'd be great.
Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. I'm struck on what you were talking about, saying it was an inalienable right, and I hadn't even thought about that because I knew it came from the Declaration of Independence, but I didn't really sit and put that together. I think freedom, especially freedom, is it's a birthright. I think it's actually who we really are at our core. I think we have freedom. We are part of the whole, and I think that we have freedom. We're given freedom. I think that one of the things that we struggle with freedom is that we try and tell ourselves that we don't have freedom because there's consequences to everything we do. There's always consequences to everything we do. But a lot of the times the consequences that we are faced with when we have to make a choice, we don't like the consequence, or it's not the thing that we desire. So then we tell ourselves that we don't have any freedom. And we actually have freedom. We have freedom to make the choice. We just have to live with the consequences. Happiness, I think I'm going to wait a little while on happiness because I have a different take on happiness than a lot of people have. And I could spend some time on that. So I think on that one I'm going to wait until we get deeper into that conversation before I dive into that one.
Yes, I know in our pre-show discussion we talked about that, and I think that some of the stuff you're going to share is definitely got some great insights. So yes, we'll get to that in a bit. And how about yourself, Philomena? Any specific thoughts on that statement of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Tim has said, but also when I think of liberty, I think of opportunity. And, you know, people are, you know, constantly trying to search for freedom. It's something that people are constantly trying to pursue, but they don't see that we have opportunity all around us. We have opportunity in every situation that we're in every experience that we encounter. We have the opportunity. We have choices. We have choices that we can make. And, yes, sometimes there are choices that we don't like. However, we have a choice. We have the opportunity, whether or not we want to pursue it or not. So that's when I think when I see the word liberty, I think of opportunity. That's the one word that comes to my mind.
Yeah, and I agree with a lot of those statements too as well, because I know when I first looked at this, I kind of equated liberty and freedom as being connected. Doubt with freedom, basically, to me, again, agreeing with you guys about being about choice, and sort of meaning freedom as more meant to be more like a metaphor towards, you know, what we have, because you're only as free as you sort of believe you are. You know, how many people do we hear about out there who they're in jobs that they feel they have no choice over? You know, they feel like they're stuck. They're locked into the life that they're in, and yet they're technically surrounded by freedom because it's all about the choices they're making. So, you know, it's really, really interesting because I was thinking about that freedom is probably comes from also a very spiritual place, because, you know, freedom can be in your mind. It can be, you know, there's a lot of people out there who live in countries where freedom is, quote-unquote, freedom is not anything they have access to yet. It's how their thoughts are in their minds and things like that, where I'm sure that they would share that they actually do feel free. So, you know, again, I think freedom and liberty and all those types of things is something that we often talk about in this country and we just so take for granted, yet bottom line, every day it's about the choices you make. And like Philomena, as you said too, it's about the opportunities that are out there for you. So many people have opportunities out there in front of them, but their mindset is as if they have no choice. And yet we all know we always have a choice. And when we decide to do something, we've got to live with those consequences, which is, Tim, what you alluded to. And yet also it's a case of sometimes when we choose not to choose, that's our choice. And I think people have a hard time living with that as well. So it's, you know, that overall statement of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it's something we've all grown up with and just, I do think, take for granted. But when you do start to take a step back, it's all out there for us to just live the life we want to live. We're free to make the choices. The pursuit of happiness is, as we'll get into it, is happiness, is it a thing? Is it a state of mind? Is it something you can pursue? You know, those will all be some of the things we'll talk about. But I know that's just sort of a place where I'm coming from on that.
I like the idea of that. I'm sorry. I like the idea that I can't tell if I'm getting feedback of myself or I'm talking over somebody. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Okay. I find it fascinating because I think you're very correct when you say that we take freedom for granted, especially in the United States. But I also think that we only scratch the surface of it, because we don't have a society that really pushes or really enlightens us in the fact that we have far more freedom than we think that we have. And I liked what Philomena was saying about liberty being opportunity. And the problem that I find with people and their freedom and, you know, their choices, because we're all brought up in some situation where somebody wants to take our freedom away from us. Simply if it's
sure.
just being, we want you to think the way that we think and believe the way that we believe and follow the rules that we follow and, you know, and toe the line, basically. And I think we become so afraid. You know, I've talked about this before. We are so, our nature is connection. That's our biggest thing that we want more than anything else. We want connection. We want to connect with each other. Whether you call it love, whether you call it acceptance, whatever you call it, we want that connection. And we have such fear that we are going to not be allowed in, that those connections are not going to be made, that we don't recognize our freedom, and we absolutely miss out on the opportunities that are ahead of us because we're afraid.
Absolutely, and
fear,
because, boy, we could really dive into that one as well, right, talking about fear and how that works, but I absolutely agree with that, and I found a quote that I think was just so simply stated and just sort of goes along with what we're all sharing here. It was by Walter Cronkite, and the quote basically reads, "There is no such thing as a little freedom. Either you are all free or you are not free." And, you know, I think that speaks to a little bit of what you're saying, because you're either out there living this life of choice and freedom and just sort of taking life by charge, or you are sort of maybe trapped within yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when I'm teaching people about stress and how to really become masters of their emotions, I have them understand that the most powerful and controllable human stressor in the world is the human mind, you know? And that is all what you were saying along the lines, Tim, that we're so fearful. And we create these thoughts in our head that really imprison us. And they really take away from seeing what opportunities are out there, because we create these elaborate stories, you know, on what someone may be thinking or how they may react or whatever it may be, assumptions that we may have. And when that ends up happening, that is actually taking away your freedom. That's taking away your liberty. So really, you know, even if you are physically imprisoned, you can still be free mentally if you're able to really grasp that.
You know, so then the fact you bring that up is a great point, because as you were speaking, it's exactly something I was just thinking of. Because in a lot of the work I do with athletes, I do stuff on visualization, and there's some really great stories out there about Vietnam vets who were when they were captive, that the mindset that they had while they were being held captive, many of them who were in prison for 5, 6, 7 years, they knew that even though their physical bodies were being controlled by someone else, they still had the freedom of thought and the freedom to think the thoughts that they needed to think to get themselves through. And they actually did a lot of things in regards to visualization around some other things. But what they all said was that they knew that the only choice they had in those moments was they could either completely suffer and be, controlled by their physical capture, or they could make those positive choices to be free within their minds. And they did a lot of things that were visually appealing and stimulating to themselves within their minds. And that's what and how they got through. And then when they were released, it's actually, they give a lot of credit to as to why they were able to sort of come back and move through and then merge back into society and have actually very successful lives, because they didn't allow their physical capture to take over their entire lives.
Yeah, it reminds me of Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the Conversations with God series, says that nothing has any meaning beyond the meaning that we give it.
Right.
You know, and we place those boundaries on ourselves.
We do.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, and the reality is there's whole institutions that tell us we're free and then turn around to tell us how not to be free. And, you know, I don't want to get into the whole religion thing too much, but, I mean, a lot of religions are that way, to tell us what, this is the rules, these are the regulations, and if you don't follow the rules and you don't follow the regulations, then you're going to be rejected by the very being that everybody wants to be connected to the most. And, you know, my understanding, and it's just my personal understanding, is that the one thing that we were granted was complete freedom to do anything and everything that we wanted to do. And yes, we had to live with the consequences, but those consequences weren't punishment. They were allowing us to see where we went wrong, to see where we wanted to change things and go a different direction.
Right. That reminds me of this quote, and I don't know who said this. Life is the art of drawing without an eraser. And, you know, I love that quote, because although we can't go back in time and erase things or change things, the one thing, that the power that we do have is really to create our path moving forward. You know, so we have that freedom. And by having that clarity, by having that freedom within your mind, you can create the path that you want, essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's definitely all so much about choice, and I think a lot of people miss that. They miss that point on that for sure. Tim, did you have something else you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, as a coach of somebody who of athletes, Mandy, I would think that this would be an area that you would be coaching people on a lot of how to get out of their mind to the mental blocks that are keeping somebody from performing at their best or at their, you know, at their highest.
Oh, absolutely, because it's that piece that I shared. It's a lot of the negative self-talk. It's a lot of the getting stuck on their past performance, whether it's a good one or a bad one. You know, making one mistake and all of a sudden believing that, you know, you're the worst thing out there. You know, athletes a lot of times have this persona that, you know, they're filled with confidence, and yet I think I've met some athletes that they're driven almost by their fears and doubts and things like that, because it's always about the next performance, and you know, sometimes they get in their own way and forget to be in the moment and focus on the process versus being too focused on the outcome. And that's why I said there's a lot of discussion that happens around, you know, do you have to feel good, be happy to play well, or do you play well to feel happy? Which obviously we'll be getting into that happiness piece, but it's athletes sometimes it's all about from the neck up. I often say it's you play the game from the neck down, but you're going to win the games from the neck up, and you know, defining your levels of success, because if it's, and then it's also, is it only about winning? And you know, so we could kind of go down that road, but absolutely, athletes a lot of times would be much more successful if they, you know, cut off their head and just played from, you know, and got that out of their way.
You know, and that's something I think our listeners should realize about coaching in general, you know, and specifically, being an athletic coach is a good jumping off point. Coaching really is about dealing with what's going on in your mind, because we're not a coach is not coming to teach you how to do something that you don't know how to do. Just like you coaching an athlete, they've already got the talent. You're just trying to bring the talent out in them and to get them to stick with that and not let those blocks get in the way. Well, that doesn't matter what you're coaching in, whether you're coaching somebody in life coach or whether you're coaching somebody in wellness or whether you're coaching somebody on financial things, anything that you're coaching on. As a coach, we assume that everybody we are coaching already has what they need within them, and our job is just to help bring it out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well,
that's true. Very true.
Very well.
And you know, most of the time it's those inner blocks that is really keeping people to creating their life or living out their full potential. It's those inner blocks that are doing it. It's not necessarily because they don't have the talent or because they don't have the drive. Because like Mandy was saying, you know, a lot of her athletes, their drive is really fear-based. So, yes, you can still be successful if you do have a fear-based drive. But really, how is that going to make you feel internally? If you're miserable doing it, if you're constantly on edge and have that anxiety, you know, how rewarding is that? Yes, you may have that medal, but if you don't have that feeling of being a winner, then it's really not worth it.
Well, fear is a motivator, but it's a negative motivator.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that, ironically, sort of ties back into freedom, is if you are driven by fear, then are you really free?
I would say no.
Except
no,
you
mean...
are. You just pretend you're not.
Right.
But I mean,
I was just going to say, because if that fear is driving you, then are you truly free? Because as we know, where the thoughts can take us when we're in a fear-based, fear-based mentality, and you know, that's when you so get down, you know, that snowball starts going down that hill. then at that point, you know, all of a sudden the blocks and the obstacles and everything start jumping up around you. And so again, at that point, you know, how quote unquote free are you really? Because you're probably stuck in your mind and stuck, you know, and stuck within yourself. So it goes back to, you know, everything we've been talking about all along in regards to the freedom piece of, you know, really what is being free and what is freedom. And it's, you know, maybe it's a clarity, maybe it's a calmness that allows us to just stand by no matter what we say, do, feel, act, that we're just going to be in a settled place and okay with what we do and what the outcomes are and not be focused on outcomes. Just, you know, just to be really free, just be.
Right. And that's so true, because it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, people are always trying to pursue things, whether they're trying to pursue, you know, freedom or, you know, happiness, whatever it may be. And they're working so hard trying to pursue this feeling, but they've had it all along. They just forgot about it. They've had
Absolutely.
It all along. And what happens is when you do have that sense of, when you have that feeling, when you truly believe that you have freedom, you have opportunity, you have happiness, you have whatever it may be that you know you're trying to pursue, when you realize that you've had it all along, you're going to enjoy life more. But aside from that, you're going to see the opportunities in everything. And I know I said that before, but a lot of times we try to have so much control over our life, okay, you know, on who we want to be, how we want to show up in the world, you know, what kind of a house we want to live in, what our job title is, all of these things, because they think that they're going to give us this happiness or this freedom, whatever it may be. But we've had it all along, and we may end up finding a greater opportunity by just seeing what's around us. And it's going to cause less stress.
Well, I think that right there, that's would be a great transition into sort of, you made a nice connection there of that freedom and how it can potentially lead to our happiness. The great time to, I think, transition into that, because it's sort of, because now we can kind of see where it's maybe connected. But before we jump into that, I just want to remind everyone that's listening, if they've got a question or a comment and they want to speak to anything we've been talking about, the number is 646-716-9397. And so, like you just said, Philomena, with that, you know, great comment and sort of transition us into the happiness piece. I've got here, you know, something that basically says that the Constitution only gives people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it yourself. And that was by Ben Franklin. I guess I dove into my patriotic place today and got all these, you know, got all these quotes from all our famous patriots and everything.
That's great. You did your research.
And then the definition that I pulled off of happiness is, it's a state of well-being characterized by emotions ranging from contentment to intense joy. It's an emotion, not a thing, not something you possess, or a state of being. So basically, on that, I think what I'll do is, Kim, we'll throw it to you, because I didn't let you start and share your thoughts, because I know you have said you have a little bit different take on it. We'll jump off there.
Okay, so I actually think most of us in today's society actually pursue unhappiness, and we tell ourselves that we're pursuing happiness, but we're really pursuing unhappiness. And I think that the reason this is that we have so convinced ourselves that this emotion, which you already talked about, this is an emotion that you cannot keep all of the time, that this emotion is something that we're supposed to always have, that we're supposed to be happy. And we have, you know, everything in our society is built around us to either tell us how we can be happy or how we're not happy, but if you buy this thing, or you do this thing, or you spend your money on this thing, or if you, you know, get into this thing, then suddenly you can be happy. And I'm sure we've all heard people in, you know, friends, relationships, anything, and they'll say, I'm just so happy. Or parents often say, I just want my kids to be happy. Well, you can't be happy all the time. And I think that the fact that we are pursuing something that you can't be all the time is making us miserable. And the reality is that, you know, if you're not happy, you're unhappy, because unhappy just means you're not happy. So if you're sad, you're unhappy. If you're frustrated, you're unhappy. If you're bored, you're unhappy. If you're, you know, we spend most of our time unhappy sitting and worrying about the fact that we're not happy. And I think what we're really looking for, and that nobody's talking about, is we're looking for a sense of well-being. We're looking for peace. We're looking for serenity. We're looking for a place that we know everything is going to be okay, no matter what's happening. And, you know, and the other thing that I will sort of add on to this is that we think we want to be happy all the time. Well, we're crazy. Because if you were happy all the time, it wouldn't mean anything any longer. I've heard countless numbers of people talk about being on antidepressants. And one of the biggest complaints that I've heard people over and over again talk about is that it makes them feel like they are sort of in this monotone state where it takes all the joy out of things, it takes the excitement out of things. They're just running at this sort of monotone state. If all we ever felt was happiness and we didn't ever have any other emotions, we would suddenly be operating at a monotone state. We wouldn't have anything to compare it to.
Absolutely.
No, sure.
I think, you know, it's interesting because I think that, you know, your take on it, I know when we talked about it, I think it's actually a very, very true, very good take on it, because it's, I think it's, you're right at hitting the nail on the head. There's this, you Google happiness and you're going to come up with, you know, 10,000 books and all these kind of things. And it's this, it's like this, it's this elusive thing that we're all trying to, like, hold on to and get into our hands. And I think you summed it up real well with the fact that if you're always happy, then you wouldn't know what anything else felt. So then what would happiness really feel like? I always like to equate everything to eating cake. I don't know, I just kind of feel like, you know, because if you had cake every day, after a while, do you really want to eat cake anymore? You know,
right.
Or does it even taste as good? So, you know, I think that piece with happiness, it's that same piece, but you're right, it's being driven home that, hey, you have to be happy all the time. I really liked what you said about, because then if you're not happy, then that must just mean you're unhappy. So it's almost like it's an either or it's black or white.
Right. We forget about the range of emotions that we can have and how each emotion, each feeling serves a purpose. And a lot of times when we're feeling down, when we may be feeling like a victim or whatever it may be, we think, oh, we should be happy. And whereas if we stop to think about, okay, why am I feeling this way? What's the purpose in this? You know, it may be because it helps us get over something, get over an experience or a setback or whatever it may be. And once we become aware of that, we become mindful of why we're experiencing that emotion, we can easily shift that emotion into something that's much more positive.
You know, there's nothing wrong with being sad. I mean, several years ago, my partner's brother died unexpectedly. And, you know, he went through a tremendous amount of sadness with this, and expected sadness. But I have to give him a lot of credit, because there were times when he would just say, my sadness tells me how much I loved my brother.
That's beautiful, yeah. That's
right,
beautiful that he was aware of that. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting too, because you know, whenever you start talking about you know, something like this, you've got emotions and you know, because something like that, we are talking about, you know, are you happy, are you sad, or whatever. Well, you know, just very quickly with everything we've been talking about, you know, there's all sorts of different emotions. There's fear, there's anger, there's happiness, there's joy, there's trust. You know, it's happiness is just one of many emotions that are out there. And as you just stated, if you're in a constant state of happiness, then look at what else you're missing out there. Because it's not saying that you want to go into sadness or be into maybe some of those quote-unquote negative emotions, but without feeling some of those other pieces, then you can't appreciate the other.
And no emotion lasts forever unless we choose it to.
Right.
You know, and watch a child. I mean, Philomena, you've got children. I bet you that your children will fight amongst each other or fight with the neighbor kid or whatever, and they've had a horrible fight and they hate each other, and 5 minutes later they're best friends.
Yes, yes, and I experienced that a lot this week when we had our house guest. So, but that's so true, and it's because they're living in the moment, they're living in the present. So, and they don't look back. They don't look back. They don't hold any grudges. They don't, you know, they don't have that anxiety, like as if, you know, if they are feeling sad. I think a lot of times, you know, for adults, when we're feeling an emotion that is not, you know, that is negative, we start to think that there's something wrong with that, and that creates anxiety. And what ends up happening with that anxiety is we end up resorting to things that you know, are not very good, for instance, like food, drugs, whatever it may be. So rather than just kind of like accepting that and saying, okay, I'm feeling this way for a reason, but it's not going to make me who I am, and moving forward. That's what children do, you know? They accept that feeling, and then once they start looking around and there's something else that they're attracted to, they move on. They forget about it.
I wish I could remember who said it or who wrote it, but there was a wonderful thing about nature, and they were talking about if you ever go out into a pond and you watch ducks floating around, and sometimes two of the ducks will start to, you know, fight each other, which is whatever reason they're fighting, whether it's territorial or whatever. But when they're done, both of them will kind of come out of the water, push out their chest, and flap their wings really, 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 really vibrantly, and then they will just sort of go back to their state that they were before. And the person was talking about how nature is actually built in ways for us to, you know, have an emotion and then work through it and be done with it. And human beings are the only ones that sit around and wait for, you know, hold on to their emotions and, you know, and they're not letting them go.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because my 3.5-year-old, she goes to a Montessori school. And when the teacher was telling me when the children fight over something, when there's some kind of like a dispute, what they do is they bring out something called the peace flower. And each child holds the peace flower. And they just say whatever it is that they want to say, why they're angry, why they're hurt, whatever it may be. And then they give the peace flower to the other child. And the other child says whatever it is that, you know, however they're feeling, whatever it is that they may want to say. And then after each child expresses themselves, they just put the peace flower away and they go on and play. It reminds me of what you were just saying about the ducks.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, go ahead, Mandy.
I was going to say, you know, it's interesting, too, because here we are discussing specifically happiness, and yet, you know, when you talk about children, because I think that's a great basis to look at it, when children just express absolutely whatever it is they're feeling, you know, whether it's happiness, sadness, anger, you know, they're crying, they're, you know, they love you, they hate you, they just express what they want to express. And, you know, how often, you know, you're in a grocery store or something and you see a child sort of, you know, have a temper tantrum and everybody kind of looks and, you know, they're looking at it and the kids, you know, you're making judgment on the kid or whatever, but how many of us, you know, when a kid gets tired, let's take that one, when a child gets tired and they get cranky, they just get cranky. Well, how many of us as adults, you know, we're taught to suppress all this stuff because we're not allowed, quote unquote, to just like let it out like a kid would when they get cranky. When a kid is tired and they get cranky, it just comes out. But we, as we start to get older, we get into school, and if you got to be a good girl, you got to be a good boy, you've got to follow this rule, that rule. We're taught to suppress our emotions and not be able to express what it is we're feeling in the moment that we're feeling it. And then as we continue through, we start to lose our ability to tap into anything that we're feeling, which I yes. think is then why we then are in constant search of happiness, because we can kind of relate to what that feels like. Yet as children, you know, say maybe from the ages of 5 and under, when they feel it, they express it. And yet, obviously, there's social cues and things like that as to why, you know, it's quote-unquote inappropriate. But imagine if we just grew up living to be able to just express and feel a feeling and have those emotions. And yet, in that, I think people would, quote, be a lot happier.
I agree. And, you know, the thing that I want especially our listeners to understand is that I don't want anybody to think that I have a negative take on happiness here. I think that I really wish they would rename it Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Serenity. I wish that we taught people how to, we were taught all of our lives how to pursue the sense of being okay no matter what. I refer to serenity as it's the eye of the hurricane. It's the calm of the storm. It's that you're sitting in the middle of it, and no matter what's going on with around you, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you, you know, whether it makes, no matter what feelings it brings up with you, there's still the constant state in you that knows, ultimately, this is going to be okay. This is going to pass. I'm going to get through this. And, you know, and I don't have to deal with this forever. And everything's going to be okay. And then you can have your range of emotions about everything.
Well, and it's interesting. It's interesting, too, because one of my favorite lines of all time for all the Seinfeld fans out there is serenity now. You know, serenity now. That's what we're, you know.
Right.
The many times I've actually shouted that out of just serenity now.
That's true. That's fine. So. Yeah, and that's, both of you have really hit the nail on that one. And it's really that's what we're probably seeking more is that serenity. That whatever is thrown at us, whatever experiences we may encounter, whatever situation we're in, we can have that contented state so that we can make the choices. And it all goes back to freedom, you know. It circles around back to freedom and having that choice, having that liberty to experience whatever emotions that you want to experience or make whatever choices you may want to make.
Yeah, this is all tied together.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really interesting because as we were talking about this topic, I kind of actually forgot when we were first discussing it. I forgot that going through the IPEC training, at the end you do the independent study, and I actually did one. I wrote a piece on, surprisingly enough, I actually had forgotten about this, that I titled it, "Is It," in quotes, "Is It As Simple As a Choice?" And ironically, I wrote all about happiness. And that it is as simple as a choice. And there's this book out there by Barry Neil Kaufman, great, great book, and it's actually what inspired me to write the piece on because the title of the book is Happiness is a Choice. And it was just a great piece about the fact that, you know, again, it's not really something that you can go after and hold on to. And as you were talking, Tim, about your partner experiencing that pain with his brother, it was only through experiencing that pain that you can sometimes understand the other side of the joy piece and that. And he had many points in this book of people who experienced just that, that in some times, there was, for some of them, some of their greatest tragedy actually eventually resulted in their greatest happiness when they came through it and worked through that piece, because it was only going through the sadness and the tragedy that they were able to come through and find an even greater sense of happiness.
That's interesting that you say that, because I was just about to comment on that. A lot of times when we are experiencing great sadness, it only makes us, when we do have that joyful feeling or experience, that euphoric state or that feeling of happiness, we appreciate it so much more. And we are able to experience happiness or joy at a completely different level. Just because we know, just because we were able to experience anger or sadness at such a low level. So it's interesting that you stated that, because I was just about to make a comment on that.
Yeah, and I want to jump in. I'm going to dip my toe back into the spiritual world again. Ultimately, I think that at our essence, we are just life. We are just a portion of life. We are a small portion of life. And I think that what we are doing here, whether we understand it or not, we are life experiencing life.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to experience all of it. And,
yes.
There's got to be those opposite ends of things to have an experience. There's no up without down. There's no right without wrong. There's no left without right. I say it ad nauseum. I know I do. But, it's why we're here. And we've convinced ourselves in a lot of ways, and I think there's some of the ways is because a lot of people make a lot of money off of it, but we've convinced ourselves that we're not supposed to have all the experiences of life, that we're only just supposed to have that one. And, we're only supposed to have that one emotion, and we're only supposed to have the good things, and we're, why bother? Why bother? I mean, it's an emotional lobotomy is what it is.
Yeah. And also, a lot of times people forget that when people are able to experience various emotions, for instance, like sadness or whatever it may be, it actually encourages them or it drives them to kind of like think outside the box. For instance, there was this person I had seen on television, and unfortunately, his child had died in a car accident because of the car seat was faulty. So he was able to invent a car seat that was much more safe for children. So it's kind of like experiencing that emotion and the feeling that he felt from the loss of that child. It kind of like drove him to create something that really is helping people live a better life.
And what he did, it sounds like, is he didn't allow himself to become imprisoned by his emotions, which goes back to the freedom thing, which when he went with the freedom instead of the prison, his opportunities were right there in front of him, and look what great things he did.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, and it doesn't mean too that with when things like that happen, that you feel the pain, you work through it, and that you're not going to revisit it. I think a lot of people feel that if they, because you see this a lot with people who've experienced tragedy, that if they start to move beyond the pain and they move to a happy place, that they're disrespecting the person they've lost. That they are then forgetting about the person that they've lost, and yet at that same time they're actually, I think, doing a discredit to that person's memory and that person's thought, because if they were then still with them, they would not want to see them in such a state of unhappiness or in such a state of suffering, because staying in that state of suffering doesn't bring anything or that person or a situation that we're in back. So when you're choosing to stay in that place, all you're doing is, again, you're choosing an emotion and a place to be in, and just moving through and moving towards happiness or moving towards more joy doesn't take away what has happened, but it allows you to then, as you said, experience more emotions, because it's not just black or white. It shouldn't be one or the other.
That actually reminds me, when you were just discussing that, it reminds me of my grandmother. So my parents are from Italy, and my grandmother, they're from a small town in Italy with, you know, traditional values. And when my grandfather died, I was in fourth grade. And tradition has it that when your husband dies, you wear black for the rest of your life. And my grandmother, from the time I was in fourth grade until she died, she wore black. But aside from that, she never attended weddings. She never went anywhere because she was constantly in a state of mourning. And thinking about that, like how, you know, to be in that state for the rest of your life, how much did you miss out on? How much did she miss out on in life? Aside from that, she really, you know, we never were able to experience her in a joyful state a lot of times because she, you know, she didn't want to attend parties or whatever it may be. So really, it not only affected her negatively, but it had a negative impact on the people that loved her and the people that were around her.
Why did she choose to do that?
To wear black?
Well, all of it. What was the impetus of wearing black, of not going to weddings, of...
That's just back then. I mean, it's not like that anymore, obviously, but back then that was the tradition. Once your husband died, you were in a state of mourning for the rest of your life, and you wore black. I mean,
it's an example of how sometimes our traditions and our rules and our regulations and our cultures sort of take away our freedom.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And you don't even know that it's being taken away from you.
Nope. Nope. And I mean, and she thought she was doing it out of respect for her husband, but in the end, I mean, who lost that? You know, she lost so much. You know,
and you lost too.
Right. Right. Exactly. Not just me, but everyone around her. So that's just something to consider when you are feeling like a victim or you are having these negative thoughts. It doesn't just impact you and your life and your decisions and the choices that you make, but it also has an impact on those around you, your loved ones, your friends, your associates.
Absolutely, and something like that as well. She, you know, who knows if she wanted to maybe do it differently, but there's also, that's where, again, those society pressures and cues come from, a place of, you know, well, this is the way we do it. This is the way, you know, it's done. And you know, Tim, as you were speaking about, you know, from that spirituality place and religion, and how sometimes, you know, some of the religions out there, they preach and teach spirituality, but yet really all it is it's just another box that you're living in. You know, another form of rules and this is the way we do it, yet they sell it under spirituality. And, you know, who knows even how much more suffering she was experiencing, because maybe she didn't even want to do that, but she couldn't break out of that norm because this is the way we do it.
Right.
Yeah, and something that I heard somebody say years ago that I've sort of taken really to heart for myself is that, you know, first of all, God's not mad. And, you know, and the second thing is, it's God. There's no need. God doesn't need anything. Because if God wanted something, all God would have to do is create it or make it be the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't live my life any longer. And I really am just speaking for myself, but I no longer live my life in fear that, you know, I'm not pleasing God because I'm not doing some this or that or doing it this the way or that way, and that ultimately that God's going to be mad at me because I didn't do it right.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely without a doubt, and we knew that we could probably talk about this subject for a good long time. And believe it or not, our time is actually quickly fading away from us here. But I thought we could take a moment to sort of maybe give a final thought on this whole topic, and then we can you know, talk about some of the upcoming shows, and then a last little piece on on how people can reach us again. But so in that, you know, Philomena, if you want to just take a moment to sort of maybe give us one last little thought on the whole topic, on one part of the topic, anything you'd like to share.
Well, basically my closing thought is, again, when you think of liberty, think of opportunity, and think of the opportunity that's all around you. Don't just think of the opportunity by working for it, but just look around you and see what opportunity is around you. And what you'll realize is you don't have to work as hard as you think you have to in order to create or in order to have the feeling that you're searching for. And I can be reached again at www.bounce-life.com or Filomena, Filomena, at bounce-life.com. And I will be on air again Friday, June 28th. Thank you.
And Tim, how about yourself?
I think that I want to start with liberty and just say I want people to understand that freedom is your birthright. It's who you are. It was given to you by the sheer fact that you were born, and that, you know, the limits that we face are the limits that we put on ourselves, that we allow others to put on us. And I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that it's easy to drop those limitations, but you at least got to start with the idea that you can and be willing to work to change the way that you see the world and see yourself in the world. And on happiness, I'm going to quote Abraham Lincoln, and he said most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be.
That's what I had. I had that one ready to go, seeing the patriotic
team. Sorry about that.
So good one. Sorry. Continue there.
And that, you know, happiness is an emotion. It's a great emotion. We all want it, but we're not going to have it constantly. You know, spend your time trying to be in a state of peace, in a state of well-being, and let happiness come and go as it's supposed to come and go. You can reach me on my website at diyforyoursoul.com. Again, that's all spelled out, no numbers in there. You can actually email me at info@diyforyoursoul.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Billiter.
Great. Sorry if I took away your thunder there a little bit. Just to reiterate the quote that Tim had said was, most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. And that was by Abraham Lincoln, because I actually had that one myself. So that is a great quote. I think that the pieces, you know, that the liberty and happiness, you know, that they can and do go hand in hand from a standpoint of, because with liberty and freedom being connected to choice, I really do feel that, you know, choice also then leads to happiness, and that, you know, you choose a lot of what you do and how you do it, your thoughts and all those things. And then based on that choice, that's going to lead you down a road as to, you know, whether you're happy, you're sad, you're angry, fearful, joyful, all those kinds of things. So I think the two pieces do link together, because you can choose your happiness. And actually, I had a quote ready as a backup. So that quote is, which I really think also speaks to what we're talking about, is happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions, and that's by the Dalai Lama. So I think, again, that ties into choice and happiness are both together. I will also be on air again next Friday, June 21st at noon, and I can be reached at my website is coachmandy.com, and my business name is Inner Winning Coaching, but the website, again, is coachmandy.com, or I can be emailed, you can email me at mandy@coachmandy.com, and that is M-A-N-D-Y. And so now I'll just take a couple minutes to let you know some upcoming shows we have. Starting on tomorrow, Saturday, June 15th at noon, we have another Life Coach Chat. The title is, Are You Living Up to Your Potential? And it is going to be hosted by Danielle Mercurio, David Diamond, and Joanna Swift as they discuss the unnecessary pressure we create as well as how we measure success. So again, that's tomorrow, Saturday, June 15th at noon. And then coming up on Monday, June 17th at 8 p.m., we have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And she will share her insights into the way that spirituality impacts all aspects of our life. And again, that's Monday, June 17th at 8 p.m. with Reverend Jen. And then Tuesday night, June 18th at 7 p.m. We have Overcome Your Fears and Insecurities. Now go for it. And this will be hosted by Andrea Ruckelman, Barbara Hetzel, and Leanne Parsons. So all really great stuff from a lot of good coaches coming up. So again, we have on Saturday, June 15th at noon, Monday, June 17th at 8, and Tuesday, June 18th at 7. And again, I will be on next Friday at noon. And Filomeno, you'll be on again when?
I will be on again Friday, June 28th at 12 p.m. Eastern
and
time.
How about yourself, Tim?
My next date is June 29th. That's Sunday. It's a Super So Sunday wrap-up.
Okay, super. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us today, our listeners, and thank you, Tim and Filomena, for another great show. I think we easily could have kept going on for a while on this topic. And so it was a great show, and thank you guys very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Tim, and enjoy your weekend.
All right, and everybody, yes, have a great weekend, and go out there and choose your feelings and choose happiness if that's what you'd like to do. And again, thank you for joining us today on Life Coach Chat. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.